Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Stephen Biscotti.
And I'm Justin Candelaria.
And you're listening to
The Saturday Morning Superman Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to another rousing week of the Saturday Morning Superman Show, your podcast about Superman in animation across generations.
Today's episode is The Underground World, which premiered in theaters June 18, 1943, directed by Seymour Nightell, animation by Nicholas Tafuri, Ubor Grossman, and story by Jay Morton. That's wonderful, Steven. Thank you for the comeback.
That was a really good way. I like that. I like that intro.
Like that intro, why? Because it took us like three times to do it. It took me three times to do it.
I guess we should just get into.
Let's just jump right into it.
All right. This episode is The Underground World. We're at the second to last episode of the Superman Fleischer theatrical shorts. So we really hope you've been enjoying season two of the Saturday Morning Superman Show, and we really hope you check out this episode. So if you're going to watch it, you might want to start it now, or if you've already watched it, cool. And if you plan on watching it after you listen to the podcast episode, we hope this finds you well.
Yes.
So the Max Fleischer cartoons, as we've said time and time again, they open with the Paramount Pictures logo. And then the episode begins in proper.
With a pounding surf.
Yeah, I gotta say, one of the things that I would just like to add is that aside from like the title cards and everything that we've spoken about, the animation, I would really love to see this translated, you know, into animation now. And when we were watching this episode, it was something that... that I brought up that like it would be so cool if DC Universe or if Warner Brothers had the ability to really do something like on the level of like what Disney Plus is doing and give us like Superman animated shorts, you know, on like DC Universe, or you know, if they were to put the money into it and like you get Henry Cavill back, and maybe you're not going to get a Superman movie, but you're going to get like 8-minute theatrical live action shorts with Henry Cavill as Superman, and there would be a lot of ways to like play within the Superman world by doing that. And you know, it's annoying because I feel like, you know, like a lot of times like you don't hear these ideas, and you know, maybe they are talked about behind closed doors, but it just feels like this is the kind of stuff that they should be doing. But you know,
I guess it's times.
Hopefully we'll get a new Superman cartoon.
Or, you know, something that's
but if you find out about the Henderson Caves, and that more than 40 years ago,
more than 40 years ago. Wait, what? What do you mean more than 40 years ago? What are you talking about more than 40 years ago?
That's what it said. When the gentleman is speaking with Clark Kent, Perry White, and Lois Lane.
He's
showing the Henderson Caves, and then more than 40 years ago, his father. They disappeared, but his father was there.
But they didn't mention his father in the beginning, though.
No, not yet, but you find that later on.
See, I didn't want to spoil it for people. Yeah. That's why. God, you made me feel like an idiot for a second there. But this episode, basically, Lois and Clark. Honestly, it feels like they're about to do some Lois and Clark adventure type of stuff in here. Honestly, I've never seen the actual Lois and Clark show you mentioned a lot. But for me, I don't know if it's the correct or not. It sounds kind of like an adventure show in a way, Lois and Clark.
But this is a very adventurous episode. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's almost like pre-CW, before CW. It's just... Superman and Clark Kent and Lois Lane working at the Daily Planet. They have their chemistry and banter back and forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Superman fighting, you know, saves the day. Lois Lane is very much a central part of the show. I mean, like, she's one of the co-leads. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Terry Hatcher is wonderful in it. You know, Superman, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman were my live action introduction to Superman growing up as a kid. And you know, you can't grow up as a fan of Superman or just as a fan of the show and not associate Terry Hatcher with Lois Lane. Like, you know, I think she's probably her and Erica Durance, I think, are the two best Lois Lanes that we've ever had. But it's cool because, like, you know, now we're getting a little bit of, like, an Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Temple of Doom.
As they're going into the Henderson Caves.
In which they're probably going to find Harry from the Harry and the Hendersons in here, correct?
Yes.
Big old Sasquatch.
And as they're going through the cavern, we see that Clark Kent stayed on the outside, and you know, Henderson himself, Junior, you know, they're going in, and you know, you understand that his father had disappeared, and you know, he's been searching for his father, and he finds the cave, and they're exploring, and it also kind of reminds me a little bit of like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Disney World, where you're in the little boat and you're going through it. Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that.
Yeah, it kind of does. And right here, we kind of get the idiotic moment of the episode where, you know, they decide not to tie down the boat and then, you know, just kicks it right off, you know, with TNT, by the way, with TNT. You know, nothing could go wrong. Nothing's going to go wrong. You know, it just says danger. It just says danger on the satchel. But I just realized something. You name a TNT bag just danger? it's just danger.
Well, I like how they go, how Lois notices that the boat is escaping them, and the guy, like, he starts crawling through, and like, I'm trying to think of like how they're crawling through this cave, how far they went. There's obviously no light that they have, and as Clark Kent is on the outside, you hear a loud boom, and then he heads into the cave because, you know, like, that the bomb I guess either went off, but as we then discover, there's a group of underground people. They're like hawk-like, bird-like.
These are definitely Hawkman's minions.
Yeah, that are down there, and they've captured Lois and Henderson.
I am surprised not to see Hawkman or Hawkgirl in this episode because of this, though. But honestly, this is really like, it's like, okay, so at first, we're like, you know, they're chasing their TNT, trying not to, you know, have it explode. It explodes, and all of a sudden, we just jump cut to this Hawk cult that is just like, what in the world is going on right now?
And above, I guess, like, the main Hawk, the man, not Hawk. Hawk man, but like a Hawk man.
I'm going to call him Hawk King.
Lois Lane finds that they have a statue of Henderson's father right above them.
Which, honestly, is never really explained, too.
Well, no, you get the explanation for it.
For the reason why it's there?
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even notice any explanation. I thought they just passed it. I literally thought they just passed it. They're just like, oh, he's there. Okay, move on.
So, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but yeah, so Clark Kent, he goes into the Henderson Caves, and he, you know, he's exploring, and he finds his way into it, and it
takes him a while to get changed in this episode.
It's interesting, because the thing is, this kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, it doesn't really quite remind me of, like, the Underdwellers episode of Batman, the animated series, but it reminds me similar to that where, you know, it's like this, like, episode that kind of exists within Superman or Batman, but it doesn't really kind of fit with
anywhere,
you know.
It's just filler.
Especially because, like, we're seeing, like, monsters in this.
Yeah.
And this is definitely a little more science fiction-y than, like, you know, mechanical, you know, like, mechanical, like, you know, where you're dealing with robots or something like this. Like, you're actually seeing, like, monsters in this, and it's kind of funny because, like, I guess, like, after you've had the Arctic Giant, and even, you know, you've had something like the Arctic Giant, or the fact alone that Superman is an alien, you know, to think, like, oh, this is kind of weird. But still, you know, I think that comes down to, like, how you depict Superman. Like, you could ground him as much as possible, and the fantastical aspects of him almost become less fantasy or science fiction.
I guess you could say it's a little bit more mystical,
in a way. But the monsters, they tie up Henderson and Lois Lane, and they're going to lower them into, like, this vat. And as they're being lowered, which takes forever to get into the vat,
like always,
Lois Lane notices that the substance in which they're being lowered into is going to transform them into the statue that they saw of Henderson's father.
Okay.
So,
oh, okay, gotcha.
Obviously, Henderson went into the caves, met these particular creatures, mm-hmm. and they lowered him into the vat, okay. and then held him as a statue.
Okay.
And then we're led to believe that they're going to do the same to Lois.
Okay, Anderson. That makes a little more sense. I was confused by that a little bit.
The theme music that plays whenever Superman does something heroic, it's which fun. I think we should play now.
Play now.
That, I think, is one of the coolest embellishments to the character in the Fleischer series. And I have to say that, especially as we're wrapping up this series, aside from the physicality that I really greatly enjoyed of Superman in this, it's that music that's just as iconic as what Shirley Walker had done with Superman the Animated Series, or even theatrically what Tom Holkenborg, Hans Zimmer, John Williams had done with Superman. Mm-hmm. It's just such a powerful sound.
Mm-hmm.
So Lois writes the story. They make it back to the Daily Planet, and Perry White burns it, saying that, oh, nobody would ever believe this anyway. And it's kind of a cute little way to wrap the whole thing up. But it's definitely, it's an interesting episode, because especially as we just followed a lot of very World War II heavy propaganda episodes, to kind of have something like that, it's a little breath of fresh air, but because they've spent a little bit of time now within the world of World War II, it feels kind of too light and popcorn-y to just see them doing like a 1940s-esque adventure serial.
Yeah, by the end of it, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, again, I think with the Fleischer series, it's been a little easier to pick apart, episodes that we really like and episodes that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Far easier than it is with Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
I feel definitely. Superman the Animated Series, I mean, of course, the caliber of storytelling is much more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fleischer series are timeless for a reason, and they're integral to the legacy of Superman in the history of Superman in general, not just
mm-hmm.
In animation, but to the character himself. So I think whether you like Superman or not, you have to recognize that there really is something very important about what Max Fleischer and his whole crew had done with Superman. But if you're a Superman fan, then absolutely Max Fleischer's Superman, it's at the very top of the list of Superman and animation.
Yeah, this episode, it's I mean, I like it more than the whole propaganda stuff, but again, I mean, it's fun, it's cool, it's fun. I liked making fun of the Hulk people every now and then, especially when they do their ritual kumbaya dance or something like that. But overall, it's just an okay episode. Overall, just okay.
Yeah, it's been fun watching these remastered episodes of the Superman Max Fleischer shorts, especially because, as we've pointed out in earlier episodes, that at the time that this debuted in 1941, Superman only had debuted in 1938.
Yeah.
So he's only been around for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's cool about watching Max Fleischer's Superman is you're getting Superman in animation in the closest, reflecting the closest Superman that we had at the time. And, mm-hmm. With anything live action, you look at a Superman movie or a Spider-Man movie or anything like that, and you're talking about something from 2001 or 2002 based on a character from 1963 or 64. And yeah, there's still a little time that's passed, but with this, he's only been around for 3 years, so you're mm-hmm. really getting Superman in a very pure way, and whatever the animators are adding, it's what we see today. If somebody were to do a new superhero movie, it's of course, as a creator, they're going to want to leave their own imprint on it. So it's interesting to see what Max Fleischer did with Superman in this series that is still felt to this day. And so I think that's a key reason why Max Fleischer's Superman series is so important. And a lot of fun to watch too.
Yeah, most definitely.
And you can find me at RegieMantleIII on Twitter. And you can find me at Sherbert Danny Jr. on Instagram. Next week is it. It's the final episode of Max Fleischer's Superman. And what's the name of the episode?
The name of this episode is The Secret Agent Man.
It's The Secret Agent. final episode of the theatrical shorts, and that'll wrap up our 17-episode super second season of the Saturday Morning Superman Show. We'll see you then. Until then, be peaceful and up, up, and away.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.
Today's episode. Today's episode is episode...